Hello and welcome to the Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler. With me this week are Mick McQuillan, Gary Cotter, Tony Cullen, Johnny Pearl. Well, after two wins in the last two Saturdays, things are looking a lot brighter for Wolves, and the mood at Molineux has certainly changed for the better. On this episode, we're going to talk about last Saturday and things in general. I'll also have a couple of snippets at the end from my visit to the Worldwide Wolves Lounge and the Wolves legend Steve Bull's chat in the question and answer session. I have a couple of pieces at the end of today's podcast just to give you a flavour of what he was talking about. Also great in the lounge to see the Swedish Wolves who were celebrating their 25th anniversary. A good crowd of around 40 of them there. Also met Wayne Devaney, who took photographs, was great. And Raim and Anthony Moore from Waterford. Again, took some photographs and passed on to me. And of course, Mr. Harvey Jones from the West and his friend. So I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Mick, how are you?
I'm too bad. Anyone else in?
No, not yet. No, I can hear you, but I can't see you.
Hang on. Might be something to do with this.
It'd be terrible.
Can you see me now, no?
It'd be terrible not to be able to see you, Mick, you know.
It might be the way I come in, Tony.
TC has just joined up there.
Can you see you now?
Yep, I can see you now, man. I can see you now. All right, T.
Yeah, good. You?
Great. Enjoying all this brand new weather. Summer's here.
Oh, yeah, make the most of the day that it is.
I think it's going back tomorrow again to the usual.
Is it?
Well, the temperature's dropping, I think, after. Well, yesterday was 17, and they reckoned today was going to be 12 or 13, and so today was 17, 18 again. But I think tomorrow now they're saying it's going to. You know, all these predictions, they never work out the way they're supposed to, you know?
No.
But Gary's coming in there now, yeah. But I see the United tickets are, the details come out today for the Mick, you know?
What's that?
Just for the sale of the tickets for the United Away game.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
It's, they're going on next week. They're actually putting them on sale the day after, the 21st. So they're subject to change. Hopefully it will be changed to a Sunday, Mick, as you know.
Hopefully the result goes for his authority.
I know, there's something sick about wishing Man United well, isn't it? When there's only the price of a couple of flights at stake.
You nearly forfeit the flights.
For the sake of
this. Is it Everton you're talking about?
No, we're just talking about the United game. Now, myself and Mick had a chat. I was out walking on Thursday night and I came home about 20 past 8 and I turned on and United were 2 up, you know. I says to Mick, jeez, our match against United will probably be on a Sunday now. What do you think? So we had a chat as the match was going on and it was looking like we fucking 3 or 4 now. So we booked flights and to Birmingham. Mick was going to say we'll hire the car and all that, you know. And then the mug came up on the screen with half an hour to go. One young H. Maguire. And I said, text Mick and I said, oh, Jesus, you know. So it did prove to be right in the end. We were there, geez, you know. So anyway, we'll see. And we're not real. I think they probably still got through. They were, you know, they had a good warm-up yesterday anyway against the mighty Forest.
Yeah, they were shy too.
I didn't see any of it, but we're looking all right. I've Johnny hopefully will be joining us. I sent a link to Harvey as well, so I didn't hear back from him because he was over. Yeah, so we'd about travel arrangements. We'd a bit of a roundabout way for some of us getting over on Saturday. Myself, Tony, and Noel were flying to Birmingham. I was going back through East Midlands, but Mick, you were in Manchester, so we were all in the airport together, and then went our separate ways. Our flight was 5 to 8. Didn't take off till 20 past. So yours was something similar to yours, Mick, was it?
It was 5 days. I was on the plane and all early enough. But the problem was when she pushed back early, you know, but in the ram, there was pushing her back, snapped. So we were brought back in and we were about half an hour late. But we still got to Manchester by 20 past 9. But I missed the 25 past 9 train.
Yeah.
So I had my breakfast in Manchester and got to 25 past 10 training up. So it was fairly good, but it was great coming back. I got the 20 past there over Wolverhampton, 20 past 5 over Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
And I was back in all the airport at 10 to 7.
Yeah.
So that was great, you know.
Direct to the airport?
No, it Piccadilly. But there's two ways you could have went. I could have even got there a bit quicker. If you go from the reason I took the Wolverhampton to Piccadilly was it was the one train and I was guaranteed my seat when you get on at Wolverhampton. But then there's the other one you can get shortly after that, and it's about 28 minutes past. But you get that train to Winslow, or sorry, to Stafford. Get off at Stafford and you take that to Winslow, which is the stop. It's that far away from the airport. And a train from there across, and that's the quickest way of going. That would have you there about 6:45, you know. It was cheap enough on Saturday, but it's not always cheap, you know what I mean? So that's why I've done it.
But just that, you know, a lot of people that listen in love to hear about our travel arrangements and how we're getting there now. Like, I went back East Midlands, so literally I left once the game went into injury time. I headed off for the station. It was 5:20. Train was that was delayed till 20 past. Got me into New Street at 5:40. There was the 1803 was the train for Derby, but it wasn't sure. It was an Oxford train, an Edinburgh train. So we asked one fella in the station, he says, oh yeah, Oxford will get you there. And I went down and looked and I didn't see Derby anywhere in it. So I went up and asked another fella and he said, it's the Edinburgh train. So Grant went down, changed platforms. So that was due to go at 6:03. Didn't leave till just before 15:15. And the flight was 8:10. So it was kind of a nice little merry journey. Yeah, I got to Derby just after 6:50. Scanned out of the station, went on to Uber app, got an Uber, literally 1 minute, just before 7, your man was there in the car park, hopped in. I was in East Midlands, 7:20, and by 7:30 I was at the gate. And everything went really well till then, until the usual Ryanair party piece, an hour delay. There was two lads, you know Andy, the Villa lad, the long-haired Andy, Mick, himself and his mate were there, and he had a phone, he was out, and flight. Well, the flight didn't leave till I think it was 9:15 by the time it took off. But like, it was a great way. It's just to show that it can be done. You know, 8:10 flight in East Midlands after the game, that you can make it. Because the 11:15 flight, the lads were on. Like, I think Mick was the same view. Just couldn't stay around from 5:00 till with all the best will in the world till 8:30, getting the train out to the airport. Not just
been a good few pints, me and Noel.
not surprised.
We nearly ended up getting persuaded to go with the boys to the Beacon, some bar outside Warham.
Oh, jeez.
good night, Vienna. I'd say if you did that.
It could have been Tuesday before we got back. if we'd have done that, but we stayed, and then we got. I think we were in the airport quick enough. Birmingham. Nobody walked straight up to the, literally, it was about 6 people in front of us, and we got to the
security
check.
But the problem there is, it's not so much getting to the airport, it's if you've a skull of points, like, you know, and you have a 1/2 hour on the train, the danger is you're not off, like, you know. As your partner in crime on Saturday evening will testify, you could end up in Coventry, you know. So,
The plane was meant to leave at 11:10. It was about 10 minutes late. So by the time we touched down in Dublin, it was just after midnight. So it wasn't too bad. I was home before 1.
Yeah, I actually, with all the running around the Mick in Manchester, me in East Midlands, but actually when I walked out at 10:25 on Saturday night, there was the bell Mick there sitting having a cup of tea. The first face I saw when he came out of the arrival. So can't get away from him. It was great to see that, you know, there's more than one way getting there and getting home. You know, and then whatever suits you. If you want to travel and get home earlier, or just go for the late flight.
Yeah, well, I took that route you took last week. But I would, if you took the Nottingham train, that was up at 6:10, and that's the one you need. And
that was delayed till 6:30.
The only thing I missed my bus. When I knew I landed at 9:30, but we landed in Terminal fucking 3. You know, we were that far out from the building, and it was pissing rain. And then, like your story, Tony, we had to wait about 10 or 15 minutes for somebody to guard us off plane to bring us in.
Yeah, but you can't. It's great. As I say, we landed at 9:55, and they said, Jesus, great, I'll get me 10:30 bus. And sure, there you are. There's a crowd up, standing around the door, no sign the door opening up. It was just before 10:15, and they'd announced at about 10:05 after standing there for 10 minutes that, you know, oh, we're waiting for ground staff, you know. I mean, you're an hour delayed, like, an hour late arriving, you know. And I mean, it should be quite a time of night.
Yeah, we got off the plane really quickly, and he pulled into, we didn't even have to walk all the way down Pier D. We were in the 200, you know, the little gate.
The
old airport.
Yeah.
But we were in through passport control. I must have been out in 10 minutes, quickest I've ever been.
Yeah. Well, I was saying 10:15, but they opened the doors, and I meant to make it 25 past, but we were at probably 102, 103 boarding gates. Right. We were kind of that end of it, so there was a good 200 or 300 meters cut off the trip. So,
you were lucky because I was over the Ballymun gate. That's where I fucking was. And it was pissing down rain.
It was lashing rain. Yeah, when I got off, but. When you've a win in your back pocket, like, you don't mind a bit of rain, you know.
I know.
We've had enough rain this season. But come here anyway. But like with the when we arrived, we were in the Sunbeam. We were expecting you in, Mick, but obviously you were that got delayed and that. But we had our group there. We went to McGee's then for a few points, and we met Bob, of course, hoping all goes well for him this week. Yeah, we had a few points in McGee's. I went off down to the lounge anyway. Assume you had a few more before you left, but I went down to the lounge. Bully was there. So I had to pick up tickets for Leicester and Brighton and went in. So Bully was his usual self in great form. I got a lot. I have a video. I can't remember where I got it from. I won it 20, but now this testimonial 25 years ago or something. I had a radio competition or something. And I've had it for years. So I took the cover out of it and brought it with me and got him to sign it, you know. He's looking at it. But there were a lot of people, a big gang of Swedish Wolves there. There's about 40, over 40 of them. And they were up when they were having a great chat with him. I actually recorded his most of what Bully was saying. So I was thinking I might tag it in at the end of when I do up the podcast for Wednesday. I might put a few bits of it in at the end. He was giving his views on Gibbs White and another long haired centre forward that we have at the moment and or don't have at the moment, but he's around there somewhere. If you know who I mean. Oh, will I mention his name? he's over in Holland now via Belgium. But he gave his views on where he should be rather than where he is now. So he was usual self. Bully's not afraid to say what's on his mind anyway. It was a good old chat. Yeah, so you had a few points in McGee's then before you ventured down to the ground.
Oh, yeah, I had to keep Noel, didn't want them overheating.
he looked like he was simmering when I met him now, and when he was sitting behind me at the game, all right. He looked like he'd had plenty of fuel on board, yeah. Sure. Anyway, on to the game itself. I suppose that the team was more or less around what we expect. I suppose Pedence didn't feature at all. I wonder, is that with the case coming up, or do you think no?
Well, Tony, I from my point of view, I thought, I don't know what the reason was, but I thought that was one tweak that you could make to make us a bit better, was Pedence out. And even though I must say he wasn't that bad against Chelsea, but I like Sarabia with the left foot. I think he's very cute, left foot. So I thought that one change, because I didn't feel that the Chelsea team could, you know, the team that performed against Chelsea could do much better. But I'd say that tweak of Sarabia for Pedence, I felt, was justified and worthwhile.
Yeah.
I'd imagine they know, though, that he is, because fair enough, he didn't start, but I was actually shocked that he wasn't brought on. So I'd say they have an inkling on what the decision will be during the week on the case.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure the lads probably think, well, I can't see where the case is, but anyway, that's Mick.
I wouldn't agree with that. I certainly agree with Gary, because a couple of weeks ago, when we got put one or two results together, that basically was the side that we had. Then we got a couple of injuries.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could see it there on Saturday, you know, like Sarabia, what do you call him, Kunis, and they all clicked together. You could see some beautiful passes together when they got them out.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what it was. But look, they appealed the thing on Thursday, but obviously to give them the extra hand of having to be able to put them in if they need it. And, they wouldn't have done that. Look, to me, it was a decision between the game and surely justified. You know what I mean? Because it was very comfortable. It was very, very comfortable, I thought, on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. We. And then,
one thing, before the game, I was just looking up just, you know, getting into the frame of mind for the game, I was looking at the stats, but a couple of things surprised me. It was just a comparison of the two teams before the game.
Yeah.
And so in terms of possession in their you know, various games, they were very equal, and lots of the stats were quite equal, which suggested the two teams were evenly matched. Yeah. The two that stood out a lot were, up to this time in the season, Wolves had been shown 6 red cards and Brentford had been shown 1.
Yeah.
And Wolves had been shown 64 yellow cards and Brentford had been shown 40 yellow cards.
Well, that's cool.
I would have said it would have been the other way around. Like, you know,
well, I mean, you know, if you ask anybody,
I know we have had some sendings off, but I was just shocked to see it in kind of black and white. Like,
but if you ask anyone who's the more physical, by far the more physical team between Wolves and Brentford, like 99% of people, well, 100% of people, they'll say Brentford.
Should have had a red card.
Sorry?
Absolutely. Jensen, 2 yellow. Yeah. Good job. Clearly.
That was the pull on the jersey, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the ref,
one was good enough for a yellow card, but the second one wasn't good enough for another yellow card and a red card. So,
but the penalty, like, I looked at the video today, and Atwell goes to blow his whistle, and it's almost like he got a voice in his ear saying, "Fuck, I can't give a penalty to Wolves." Like, it's unbelievable. One of the most clearest penalties you'll ever see.
Well, the closest to it in recent weeks that I've seen anyway was exactly the same against Blooming Newcastle. You know, 2 penalties to have them. Yeah. That's 2. But then you look, yesterday, I didn't watch the West Ham Arsenal game yesterday, but geez, when I saw a snippet of Rice grabbing the ball, dropping it to his feet, kicking it in, and the centre forward dives and gets a penalty, and VAR upheld that and you know, no matter what angle, there weren't great angles for the keeper. It looked like he caught him. The man, Totti got the ball.
Clear penalty.
But overall, as you say,
it was clearer than the Newcastle one, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
It was a good game. We got the goals kind of at the right. Won the first halfway through the first half. So we were comfortable after that. I think Brentford kind of, like a lot of away teams, they came for the first 10, 15 minutes, I think, and had a go. But we kind of, they didn't really, maybe 1 or 2 half chances they had. But I think Mick was saying comfortable. I think, would that be for the whole game?
I looked at the 2 games there, we had both games, and there was no point in both games that I think we were in much trouble with the 2 teams. That's Chelsea and Brentford. I think he has the setup he says that he wants to go with, you know, and I think a lot of it was down Sunday or Saturday was down to the way we approached the game. And, you know, as I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, I could see a clicking with some players, and you know, it's fantastic to watch the likes of Nunes. Some fellas have given that chap some stick. He's quality by a mile, and Liverpool's mistake is it was our game getting him, you know, and that, because he's going to give us a little bit more. And then the other thing, that the young lad, the young Brazilian,
Gomez.
He's an excellent kid. He tore it on Saturday. Yeah, but he is quality. He's not afraid. He hits that shoulder. I mean, jeez, he's built like a brick shit house. Yeah. And he bounces off fellas there. So, and as well as that, you've got to look at, the overall, the contribution. But even Sunday, or Saturday, you bring on Wang. He's offering us so much more than he did at any stage last year.
He was actually, his goal was very similar to the one he got against Newcastle, where, you know, the defender came in. He was waiting there until the defender came in and mishit the ball. And he did, as you say, they all go in. You know what I mean? If he wasn't standing there, it wouldn't have been a goal. What I thought a pity was that Nunes made such a great run, you know, that, you know, he probably didn't even get an assist for that, does he? You know, I mean, you ran the Brentford player got the foot in and Wang tapped it in, but I just think when you're staying with Nunes, I mean the last 2 games on the right hand side he's been brilliant. It's only in the last 2 weeks he's actually been playing there. You know, so I mean.
Well, I think Tony, people got to understand. I was reading a stat there, but again, as Gary said, it's hard to believe that. Someone was saying on Saturday, there was only seven of those players. Seven of those players weren't at the club at the start of the season or weren't playing, you know?
Yeah.
And it takes, you do forget there was a big turnout of players coming in. And it does take a little bit of work because I know people are saying for you, he'll get his position, but he looks a good bit of quality. But the one man that made everything tick in the last two games is fucking Costa. You know, he was the man holding the ball up. I know his distribution against Chelsea wouldn't have been the greatest, but by Christ, he was dropping off, picking her up, taking the hits while the lads ran. I got into position.
Will we see him for the next couple of weeks, though? I noticed in the second half he had a big strapping on his tie, so I think he did a lot of running in the fourth. Like he played the kind of the 1-2 for his goal, even though his touch was the touch of Nelly the Elephant. He still managed to knocked it about 6 yards.
Well, he deserved it for the last couple of weeks.
I think give him the benefit of the doubt there on the goal. I think he was in two minds to hit the first time control it, right? And, as usual, you do it in between. Yeah. But he got the rub of the green and it went in. But I think you're right, Mick. He was possibly as close to his old self as I've seen him. He was all over. Not just that, but pace, strength. He kind of had everything on Saturday, I thought. He was well worthy of... And he was on, I can't remember how late, was he subbed? He was on very late anyway.
He was. But Johnny, what were your views on the match overall?
Comfortable first half, really. Lamina's chance kind of early kind of set the tone. Good save from Raya. 10 minutes after the penalty, which we should have got, things kind of went into a bit of chaos, which tends to happen when we don't get a decision. But to be fair to them, they settled things down. There was a stage where Jose Sa came out and fumbled the ball, and only for Craig Dawson to put in a superb block, it would have been 1-1. But on the balance of play, realistically, we've battered them. I thought Kilman, since he's got the armband, has taken this game to the next level. Tony didn't get a kick off him. Would agree with Costa, the best I've seen him. But I don't think you can just look at Costa. I think you have to look at Cunha as well.
He just loved runs.
The two of them were just bouncing off each other beautifully. You know, there was touches in and around the corner. Then Sarabia was kind of floating the way he likes to do, and the two fullbacks. I remember, especially after Brighton at home, I said, I'd never want to see Semedo in a Wolves shirt again. But since Lopetegui's came, his consistency has been unbelievable. He's a proper good fullback for us.
Yeah. It's a very settled back four too. Well, I know Totti is a great bonus to have in there, but getting injured, and the manager obviously doesn't trust Aiton Nouri probably 100%. Yeah. But Totti's gone in there and he's been brilliant.
Yeah, got the assist, which I was kind of skeptical about him coming in at left back because he just doesn't strike me as the most mobile fullback. But look, he can have nothing but praise to clean sheets from, and it's just really good to be watching a Wolves team that I remember Christmas, you're almost not looking forward to watching the games, and that should never be the case for your football team. But since the run of games, just really, 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 really good performance, you know.
Yeah, just on you know, it's amazing how integral parts of your team, you know, fellas that you reckon you're never going to do without, and all of a sudden he hasn't played in the last two games, and I said on Saturday, you know, we've got Neves and who, you know, with the song that we sing. But I think it's amazing that people were actually saying the weekend, we could start against Leicester without him, you know, and there's probably a chance we might.
Would you start him at the weekend, Tony?
Sorry?
Would you start him at the weekend?
I tell you, I'd have to think about it. You know, they say don't change your winning team, and we've won two games, you know, on the trot, and, you know, the only thing I'd play him is because, Leicester...
The new contract.
Leicester are scrapping, you know, and as you say, Gomez...
Yeah.
You know.
Does he slow the game down, Tony?
He does, yeah.
Yeah, he does. Well, he's been the focal point for any team we've done in the last, how many years? You know, there was a bit of freedom and a bit more kind of attacking, I thought, in the last two games than we've had before then. But Mick, what do you think?
I certainly put him back in on Sunday, on Saturday. I said, and the reason for this, the young fella has done very, very well. He turned badly.
Yeah.
On Saturday. So it's for a young fella like that, trying to play two or three games, you know, it can take a bit out of him. And the reason I put him in, because what we seem to forget is that we had a couple of great victories earlier on when he was playing in the middle. He's a bit more solid than the other lad. I think the other thing we shouldn't overlook is the last 2 weeks has been absolutely Spanish fucking weather in the both games. So it might have suited a lot of the lads taking part. It was a lot warmer, you know, yeah. I put him in, but the bigger problems, as you hit on earlier on, you know, will be playing, you know, with the injury. So that may change what Lopetegui wants to do with the team if he's not in up front, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm wondering, did he leave him on? Like, I know, if a fella's injured, he's injured. But I wonder, did he kind of say, we'll get the extra few minutes out of him on Saturday on the basis that, it looked like it must be a kind of a thigh strain or something, like where the bandage was, you know, on the top of the leg. So, I suppose Jimenez will give more or less the same.
He was limping in the first half, Tony, yeah.
Sorry?
He was limping in the first half for 10 minutes or so. And I thought he might have to come off, and then he seemed to recover, and then he came out in the second half and he had the bandage on. So, and as you know, it's the bandage until near the end.
What do you think of the Neves conundrum, Gary?
I take Mick's point, but I find it hard to criticise anything that's happened in the last couple of games. Like, and I think that could be the way to get the points at Leicester. Yeah. You know, is I think we get moving the ball quicker, we're livelier, and I think we've got great cover with Lamina, and I'm inclined to stick with Gomez and Nunes and Lamina, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be my thinking.
Just on the Neves, like I kind of have this argument with a lot of people. Like he's our best, probably. He's like of the last 5 years since he came, he's been our best player, no doubt. But just his position, like what is his best position?
Yeah.
Because like as a CDM, he's not mobile enough to tackle for me. As an eight, he's not the best dribbler. It just feels like since we've seen a Wolves team without him, like with Neves, he always wants to drop into the middle of the two centre halves and spray balls.
Yeah.
Whereas in the last 2 weeks, it's kind of the centre halves of the football, and there's almost three options to then pass in the middle. Whereas with Neves, he just wants it to feet, if you get me. So it's going to be an interesting decision at 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Hopefully it'll be the right one anyway. I was just looking at something there yesterday. Somebody put up on the forum about players' wages. Did any of you see that? With the wages that players are on the Premier League for the top three in each club. And I won't ask you to guess who the three highest paid Wolves players were, according to it. Just to have a couple of minutes, they were. On number one was, well, actually the three of them I think were on the same money. Sarabia, Jimenez and Moutinho.
No, I would have said Moutinho, yeah.
Anyone surprised with
that? There's a reason for that, Tony, would be, you know, he signed an extension to the contract. So what normally happens if someone is only on a short-term contract, it's like Costa. He would be on a fair whack for the season's contract. And that would be the normal thing. But I don't pay much attention to these figures because I'd love to know where they get them from. Because as far as I can remember, Tony, last year, Moutinho wanted the extra year or two, about 2 years.
To a battling over.
And he took a pay cut to do that. That's what I heard. So, look, if it's not second players' wages, they're on about this, what they call it, the assists or what this, you know what I mean?
The stats we got.
Fucking unbelievable stats. Great.
Do you know how much Haaland is on, by the way, supposedly?
350, I think it is, isn't it?
850,000 is what I saw a week. You know, mad stuff. Salah's on 350. But, 850. Mick, that's 10 of our players. If the highest players are 90.
I know.
You know, geez, I mean, it's Well, I tell you, he scored more goals than our fucking team anyway. Twice as many, I think, was he? Sorry, Johnny.
That's the reason City have about 850 breaches of financial fair play. Because they have a player on 850 grand a week. Like, have you ever heard something so ridiculous?
They should use the Chelsea model, put him on a 20-year contract or something, like, you know. Just before we go, just a quick one for Weaver. You like, I think the next 10 days are going to sort out the season for us. We've Leicester away, Palace at home, and then we have Brighton away. So do you think, well, the Leicester game anyway is the next one, but what's your thoughts on the upcoming games?
Well, I've got the last two results right, so I go with the hat-trick and a win at Leicester.
Yeah, good stuff. We'll be there to see that. Gary?
I'd love to think there'll be no new manager bounce from Leicester, but I think there probably will be some kind of a new manager bounce.
It's Dean Smith, though.
I'm not even sure
it would matter who it was. it's just the fact that it's a new management team and they'll have had a week with them, and so I think if we come out with a draw, I think that wouldn't be too bad.
I can imagine that there's probably a bounce coming from John Terry at Leicester at the moment. Anyway, yeah,
depends who his wife is at.
I knew I'd lead you into that one, Tony. What's your thoughts on Saturday?
Yeah, I think Leicester are a bit of a bogey team for us. Like, we got a right tranche and earlier in the season from them, and they only had like four or five chances. I take a point. I think they were pretty bad against City in the first half, and I know City made a lot of changes, but they could have got a lot closer to City in the second half goal wise. I know they only got one, but they had a couple of good chances to get it level nearly. So it'll be a tough game. I know Leicester are struggling and they're going to be battling, but I fancy us for at least a point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny, final word.
I kind of go along with the two lads. I watched a bit of Leicester on Saturday night, and I thought they were actually brilliant against City. Now, I know City made a lot of changes and the game was kind of done at 3-0.
Yeah.
But you kind of get the sense that if we got the first goal there, things it sort of turned toxic, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll lose, but I'd settle for a point.
Happy days. Great. Okay, lads. There were a good few of us over there, so hopefully we'll see a favourable result, a point or 3 points. We'll go with you, Mick, for 3 points, right?
I think one should be enough to keep us afloat for next season anyway.
The way I'm looking at it, we're nine points ahead of Leicester. So a draw still leaves us 9 points ahead, which is 3 wins with, what, 6 games to go? So, I mean, you could nearly be talking about Southampton and Leicester being gone out of our picture at that stage, you know. So anyway, here's hoping, lads. Mick, Gary,
yeah.
See you on Saturday. Johnny, Tony, thanks a million. We'll see you.
Cheers.
And, good luck. As promised, here are a couple of excerpts from Bully's question and answer session on Saturday.
Are you finding your role as an ambassador?
Ambassador? Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, I just meet people like you.
Cheers,
man. I love it, to be fair. You know what I mean? It's my second home this season. As I say, you've paid my wages over the years and you've cheered me on. You've done everything for me. You know what I mean? And it's
worth
good for us to give a bit back, you know what I mean?
Penny Bully, you was a
god, man. No, it's not that bugger.
Yeah.
That's me dad out there, will I?
He's old enough.
Steady. Granddad, I said. Go on, mate.
You're talking about developing young players rather than buying them in. What's your opinion of selling Morgan Gibbs White? Do you think that's a
good one? Whether his family's in it or whoever's here, whatever, me personally, I didn't think he was good enough anyway myself. Me personally, I know he's a young up and coming lad, cheeky lad, and got himself into trouble and whatever. But to me, I think what we're going outside at the moment, you mean that they surpass what he can give to the club, you know what I mean? Fair play to him, he's gone away, he's going to put his mark in, hopefully, in Nottingham and go down to Championship. We'll see.
Steve, when it comes to young players like Fabio Silva, what are your thoughts on him going away?
I wouldn't have sent him there. I'd have sent him in the championship for a year. Bustle him up, have a bit of a few fights and a few elbows and a few kicks and build him up a bit, you know what I mean? Because even when he used to play, he used to kick somebody and he used to pick him back up. When he kicks somebody, you kick him again and again. You know what I mean? He makes sure that they're there for a reason, you know what I mean? And whether he comes back, I don't know. I don't know whether he will. Whether it all goes, then he might come back. Now they've got their things in the frying pan, another one and another that one. And whether he comes back, he might come. He's top goal scorer, aren't they? He's goal scorer for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But does he fit in this side? Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a one striker. I don't know what they're playing over there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, fair play to him. Fair play to him. It's a big price tag to hold on his shoulders. But he just ain't fitted in here, is he? Yeah, fitted in here. But I say, I'd like to see him. If you put him with another striker, he'd probably be brilliant. You know what I mean?
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week, and you can follow us on irishwolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.